How many of you here like mystery stories, mystery books? When you start it, you know, some kind of event takes place, some kind of crime takes place, and we wonder who did it. It's called a whodunit. Well, this morning in the parable of the tares in Matthew 13, I would like for you to turn there. We're going to look at the ultimate whodunit. And the reason I say that is because it, by Jesus, it is expressed answers to some of the most fundamental questions that people have been asking for ages. He speaks this parable of the tares shortly after speaking the parable of the sower, or as I like to call it, the parable of the soils, because the parable of the sower is really more about the soils than it is about the sower. And in this parable, there is a discussion of judgment, but maybe not exactly as we would expect it to be discussed. Now, this parable of the tares is not a discussion of church discipline. Church discipline is a subject in the New Testament that we can study sometime. But this is a study of good and evil in this life, good and evil on this earth, and that it will never finally and fully be separated in this life. It's not until the final day when it is. And what Jesus does in this parable is to help us to understand God's way of looking at things, God's way of doing things, and why he does not make this world a perfect world. I remember many years ago, a friend of mine who was at one time a federal marshal had assumed that the purpose of the church was basically to make this life, this world, a perfect world. And it's really not. It can never be that way. Now, I want the influence of the Word of God and the influence of Christians and Christianity to prevail. I want it to affect governments. I want it to affect communities. I want it to affect societies and nations as much as is possible. But you and I both know that the reality is, when we look at life, no matter how hard you try to do good, to spread good, to do what is right, it seems as though there are forces that almost seem more powerful than the good, because they rise as well in this world. The parable makes us ask, why does God allow the sowing of tares, or the sowing of evil? If I'm planting my garden and I know someone's coming in and they're going to plant something that's going to disrupt or corrupt my garden, I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't want it to take place. We do everything we can with our gardens to keep it as pure and as possible so that it's not affected by weeds or pests and things like this. Well, God has this purpose in seeing that good is planted, but he also knows that bad things are planted in its midst. And he wants us to understand what is going on. So Jesus gives us this parable in Matthew 13, and we're going to read the entire parable. I like the parables of Jesus, don't you? Verse 24 of Matthew 13. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat, and went away. But when the wheat sprang up and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' And the slaves said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you are gathering up the tares, you may root up the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them up, and gather the wheat into my barn. Now come down to verse 36, because Jesus gives his explanation of the parable. Then he left the multitudes and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, when you read this parable, on the surface, you immediately think of the soils, don't you? The parable of the sower. There are some similarities there. But what's one of the biggest differences? The seed in the parable of the sower is the Word of God. But the seed in the parable of the tares is not the Word of God. It is people. Good people who he sows. And he calls them wheat. And he says the devil comes and sows tares. Now, what was a tare? We'll talk about that in just a moment. It's something that imitated wheat. It looked like wheat initially. It had a resemblance to wheat, but it really wasn't. And later as it grew, farmers knew the difference. This is wheat, this is tares. But initially, there is this idea that it is wheat. And we live in a world and a nation and a state and a city choked with evil at all levels. I know we want to think that we live in a world where good always triumphs, but it doesn't always triumph. Sometimes evil temporarily triumphs. And oftentimes innocent people are crushed and hurt and destroyed by that which is evil. And this parable tells us that the Lord knows what's going on, that he plants wheat and an evil one comes to plant that which wants to intermingle and spoil and interrupt and hurt the growth of the wheat. People ask the question, why does evil exist? People ask the question, how can a good God who is all-powerful allow that which is evil to grow? If he's good, it would seem logical he would get rid of the evil. If he's all-powerful, it would seem that nothing can stop him from destroying the evil. And yet, he is good and he is all-powerful, and yet, evil still grows. God has a purpose. His purposes and his thinking and reasoning and his abilities are far above mine. So even when I don't understand it completely, I trust him to know what is best in a given situation. The good news is that he will never let his people, his church, be crushed out of existence. He will always notice small congregations or large congregations, and he will preserve his church, and ultimately the church will triumph. You know, sometimes we see a situation where somebody we thought that we knew who seemed to be a faithful brother or sister in Christ, and then they depart, we think, wow, I thought I knew him or her. There's a constant struggle that goes on in our lives where we have to always guard against that which is evil and pursue that which is righteous and do what is the right thing. And we should never let our guard down. Who would have thought that the thief on the cross next to Jesus would turn to God at that very last opportunity? So the parable of tares, the master warns the disciples against the expectation of finding in the world that now is an unmixed state of a good society. The kingdom of God will have universal sway, but that will be in the world to come. Number one, the sowing. The sowing. At first the field had no seed in it and could not produce seed. In the field of humanity, neither good nor evil is native. Both have to be planted. The sower in the parable is the Son of Man. He is the grand origin of all good in the world. Anything that is good in the world, whether by believer or unbeliever, ultimately the credit gets back and is given to God. Have you ever thought of that? Even an atheist who does some good act may not realize it, but the reason he has done that good act ultimately is traceable to God, because it's God who has taught us what good is, and it has filtered into the communities, into nations, and all around the world. The field in the parable is the world. Christ is the rightful owner of the world. He owns the world. The good seed, he says, are the children of the kingdom. Let me repeat again. In the parable of the sower, the seed is the word of God, but in the parable of the tares, the word had already been received and obeyed, and citizens of the kingdom are the seed of the kingdom. So here you have, in this parable, the seed that is being sown is like, he's picturing God is planting people, faithful people, his children, all over the world. Which, by the way, should remind us of one of our motivations for spreading the gospel. The more we spread the gospel, the more we share the gospel with people, the more converts there are, and the more converts there are, the more good will be done in a community. That's why I say I want to see Christianity constantly on the move. I want us to be always thinking of souls. I want us to be progressing like against a beachhead. You know, the Marines, First Strike Force, they, the tip of the sword, when a conflict comes up, they're right there on the beachhead, and they're going to confront the enemy. We as the church, our enemy is what is evil, and we want to confront it and overcome. The evil seed in this parable, the sower is the devil. He is an enemy of the Son of Man. He is the enemy of all people. Yes, there really is something called a devil, a spiritual force of evil. Satan is his name. He's an accuser. He's a murderer and a liar from the beginning. There really is an evil force that Jesus has told us is Satan or the devil. It's a reality. It is not just some kind of theoretical, philosophical idea. It is really, there is an evil personality. He is not as powerful as God. He is not as knowing as God. He does not have the abilities that God has. But he is powerful. Make no mistake. So he is a liar, he is a murderer, and he is a rebel against God. What he sows, what the devil sows, is the tares, the plant which resembles wheat, and it represents the sons of the devil. The devil wants his sons to resemble the sons of God enough to deceive and to be deceived, yet evil enough to be condemned. The tares, scholars tell us, was something called bearded darnel. Any of you worked in farming enough to know what a bearded darnel? That is probably what this was. Bearded darnel, you might look it up at home. Bearded darnel starts to grow and it looks just like wheat does. And then as it grows and as it matures, the farmer looks at it and he knows this isn't wheat. Someone has sown this in my wheat field. The wheat the farmer wants, the bearded darnel or the tares, the farmer does not want. And yet they are so intermingled with each other, how does he pull up the tares without also ruining the wheat? He can't. So he has to wait till the harvest, and when he harvests, he has a way of then pulling out the tares, destroying them, and then saving the good harvest of the wheat. You see, that's the point he's making here. They are so intermingled with each other, you can't just pull one out without affecting the good plant. When the devil sows, he sows among the wheat, it's near enough to entangle and to sap the life out of the wheat. So what we have here is you and I are in a constant battle against what is evil. He who is on our side is more powerful than he who is on their side. And yet, the struggle hurts and is difficult and is with us every day. Now, that struggle manifests itself in many ways. It manifests itself in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. It manifests itself in attitudes of the mind which are not healthy, that are not good, that are not Christ-like. It manifests itself in ways that would have us walk away from God or drift away from God and go more toward ways of the world. Number two, the growing. The sowing, we've just looked at, now the growing. Only after a period of growth did the difference between the wheat and the tares become manifest. It was during the period of growth that the servants appeared. Their surprise. Notice in verse 27. In the parable, the slaves of the landowner came to and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" They're surprised. They don't understand how this could happen. He sowed seed that was produced, was to be intended to become wheat, and they see something else growing up in the midst. After all of our efforts to do good in the world, evil men are still in abundance, and sometimes, sadly, even in the majority. I remember as a new Christian, a friend of mine, Bill Foulkes, who was one of my early role models as a Christian. He had been a preacher and he had graduated from Harding. We were talking about majority, minority. He said, you know, oftentimes the majority is wrong. Oftentimes the majority is wrong. Now, we live in a nation where the majority of voters, if they vote for one person, that's the person who's elected. And in many ways, the majority could be very well right, but sometimes the majority is wrong in life. So don't follow the majority. Follow what is right, whether it puts you in the majority or puts you in the minority. So they have a surprise. Their proposal in verse 28, he says to them, "An enemy has done this." And the slaves said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" They see it, they don't like it, they want to pull it up, and they ask the owner, and he says no. He puts a restraint for three reasons. It was rash. It was destructive in nature. One of the reasons not to pull up the tares too early was it was destructive in nature. Rashness sometimes does more harm than good. The children of God must be patient. The rash judgment, the rash rushing to some kind of decision, the rash running in a certain direction will oftentimes get us into trouble. We should always deliberate, think, pray, use soberness and wisdom as we think about what we should do. We should not run rashly in a certain direction, because if we give God time to hear our prayers and ask Him to do His will through us, He will always answer in that way. So we should always be wise and deliberate and patient in our decisions. A second reason why they were not to pull out the tares was it was presumptuous. The servants were not the reapers. Notice the reapers are the angels that are to come, not the servants. We are the servants. We are the good seed in the world. And so we have to be always using patience in our decisions, showing compassion, but also standing for truth. You know, there's a fine balance there to stand for what is true, but to do so in love. And it truly tests God's people to the maximum degree. And a third reason, he says it was premature. The time was not ripe. Let them grow together until the harvest. Peter said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? So his point in the parable is, look, I know you want to go and take those tares out, but be patient. God will deal with it in good time, in one day, on that day. We are just to go about to do good, continue to do good, influence those around us, spread the gospel, share the word of God as much as we possibly can with our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers, with everybody. Some people will listen to that message. Some people will. A lot won't, but some really will. That's the good news. That's the gospel. So there's the sowing, there is the growing, and then there's the reaping. The reaping. The sowing and the growing are followed by the reaping. Here we see the reapers. The reapers are not the sons of the kingdom. The reapers are not us. The reapers that God sends are his angels. There's a day coming when his angels will come at the shout of the Lord God, of Jesus Christ. It will be a shout, it will be a trumpet, and all time will stop. And every ear will hear, every eye will see. And the Lord will come, he will stand, and he will separate the tares from the wheat, the goat from the sheep. And I know what side we want to be on. We want to be one of his sheep, not one of his goats. We want to be part of the wheat, not the tares. Now, one of the points he's made here is that the tares give the impression that they are like the wheat. Have you ever noticed that sometimes evil masquerades as good? Isaiah, back in Isaiah chapter 5, said, "Woe to those who call good evil and evil good." There is that confusion that is in our society today. Things that are good are being called evil, and things that are evil are being called good. It's a confusing time in which we live if you don't hold on to the Word of God. So the reaping. The reapers are his angels, the avengers of God's wrath and ministers of his mercy. The time of reaping is the harvest. Sometimes the judgment day is described as the harvest. You ever seen, at the end of the summer, you ever seen those combine machines that run from north to south through the middle of the country? They start, I think, in the Dakotas, and they go down through Nebraska and Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas, and they reap all of the wheat. These massive migrations of these machines come down. It's an amazing thing to watch. That's in terms of those wheat fields, that's judgment day for them. See? Well, our technology today, we can prevent tares from growing in the midst of the wheat. But at the time of Jesus in this parable, an evil man could come in and sow tare seeds amongst the wheat. And Jesus says in this parable that the day is coming, the harvest is coming, and the tares will be separated and burned, and the wheat will be bundled and put into barns. The separation will come. The tares are bundled and burned. He says, "Gather up first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. The wheat is gathered into the barn." That's what his children will be, like wheat bundled and put into his barn. Now that, anybody here done some haying where you tote hay and put it onto flatbed trucks and get it out of the field when it's ready so that you can store it to feed the livestock? I did that one time many years ago to help. I had come into town in Indiana, and a storm was coming, and they had a field full of, what's the name of the bundles of wheat, the squares?
Bales.
My mind went blank. And we had to rush out there and pull this tractor and this flatbed through the field and load up all those bales of hay as fast as we could because it was a big old storm. And once the storm hits and the rain gets on those bales, what happens to the bales? You can't store them that way because then they'll get moldy and so forth. So we were in a rush to get them on there. He pictures God's people as being bundled safely, carefully, and brought into his barn. And I can remember in my nostrils the smell of hay. There is a distinctive smell when you go into a barn that has fresh hay in there. We're on a journey. God has a deadline at some point in the future. It may be today. It may be 100 years from today. It may be 500. We don't know when it's going to be, but the deadline is coming. The time is short. And so we want to be ready, and we want to help to prepare others to be ready with the gospel. Our message is twofold. the good news of Jesus dying upon the cross and warning of judgment to come. Warning of judgment to come. We tell people, get ready because judgment is coming. God loves you. He died. He sent his son to die for you, to save you from your sins. And that's our wonderful message. So, the parable of the tares gives us a little more insight into why God allows that which is evil to still live in this world. We may not understand it completely, but that's what he does. It's the great whodunit, the ultimate whodunit. If you see evil, Satan is the one behind it. If you see good, it is God who is behind it. And there is this eternal struggle between the two. I don't know where you are this morning in your spiritual life. You may need to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. The Bible clearly says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You may need prayers of fellow Christians. You may need prayers and counseling and help and encouragement for struggles you're going through. But whatever it might be, this is an opportunity to let these things be known. We love you and we care about you very much, especially if you're a guest. We're glad that you're here. Come now while we stand and sing.